Very happy again to be here in the studio of WLS in Chicago to bring you the broadcast of God's eternal and infallible word. You remember the psalmist said in the 119th Psalm, "Thy word, O God, is forever settled in heaven." And the same psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Well, it's one thing for the word to be settled in heaven. It's another thing for it to be settled in your mind and in your heart. I want to say to you that I believe that the Bible is God's word just as much and just as though Almighty God would appear in person right in this studio and speak. There isn't any other way to account for the Bible than the fact that one divine mind, the Holy Spirit, controlled every writer from the first of Genesis to the last of Revelation to give us the glorious truth that we have in God's word. As the Apostle Peter said, "All flesh is like grass, and the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord abideth or endureth forever." The word of the Lord, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, the scripture cannot be broken. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're born again by the word of God. We grow by the word of God. We're cleansed by the word of God as we read, and we're to take the word of God as the sword of the Spirit if we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's no substitute for the word of God. As the Old Testament saint said, "It was more necessary than my daily food. Thy words were found of me, and I did eat them, and I found them the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." Well, the Apostle Peter, who said that the word of the Lord endureth, abideth forever, is the one who spoke of God as the God of all grace. In 1 Peter 5:10, isn't that a wonderful title? A very significant one. You know, God has a number of titles in the Bible. He's called the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. He's called the Father of Spirit. He's called the God of all comfort. He's called the God of hope. That's a wonderful verse in Romans 15:13. "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You know, Paul has so many times that salutation, it begins there, grace, mercy, and peace. Well, God is called the God of all grace, he's called the God of peace, and he's called the Father of mercies. And the Apostle Peter knew a great deal about the grace of God. He knew that the Lord had wonderfully saved him. But, of course, as we've said, the outstanding grace preacher of the Bible was the Apostle Paul. He is the one who said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And that grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And he said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?" Now, I'm sure you know that the Apostle Peter did not preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. He preached the searchable riches of Christ. He said, "I'm preaching that which Samuel foretold, which Joel foretold, which David foretold, which Moses foretold, which Abraham foretold." And anything that was foretold about Christ was not the unsearchable riches of Christ. But the Apostle Paul had revealed to him, by the risen Christ in glory, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that which was not foretold in any book, from Genesis to Malachi, the 39 books before the Lord Jesus Christ came. The law was given by Moses, grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. You know, it's wonderful to study in the Bible the eternity of grace. By the eternity of grace, think of these three verses. We want you to think of these three verses. In 2 Timothy 1:9, we read this, Then God has saved us and called us. Now listen to this. With a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We talk of time being a part of eternity. Now, when we speak of the eternity of grace, notice then in 2 Timothy 1:9 that this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Then in Ephesians 2:7 we read this, in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what God is telling us there in the second chapter of Ephesians? After these scenes of time have passed, the things which were seen are temporal. After this is all over, God is going to put on exhibition some sinners saved by grace to the praise and of his glory, wherein he hath made us accepted or graced us in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. Beloved, do you know and experience the great truth of Ephesians 1, 6, and 7? To the praise of the glory of God's grace, wherein he hath graced us in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This grace was given us in Christ before the world began, and after the things of this world have passed, in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the meantime, we have the truth for grace now. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As we read in Romans 11:6, if it is of grace, it is not of works, because grace is not works, and works is not grace. But remember this, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Now then, the same God who saves us from the penalty of sin and from the wrath of God, from eternal conscious perdition by his infinite marvelous grace, and tells us that we're declared righteous by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, tells us of his all-sufficient grace for every need and every test and every task and every trial of every Christian. We have it in 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that always, having all sufficiency, you might abound toward every good work. So whether it's for the saint or the sinner, remember, God's all-sufficient grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more superabound or overabound. The overabounding grace of the God of all grace. And my dear friend, as I've said so many times, by 95% of the people, whether they're saved or unsaved, most of the grace of God that is available for the members of the human race is unused. They refuse to accept the grace of God. Remember, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. As we've said so many times, there's a great difference between grace in a former dispensation and message and in the present dispensation of grace. The Apostle Paul tells us in the third chapter of Ephesians, he says, I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And he said, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is committed unto me for you, the dispensation of the grace of God? Surely when the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and told those men, he said, you killed the Prince of Life, but if you're willing to repent, God will forgive you, and you may be baptized for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and receive God's mercy. There was certainly grace there, but that was the gospel of the kingdom. That was not the gospel of the grace of God. The first time you have the expression, the gospel of the grace of God, you find it in Acts 20:24, where the Apostle Paul said, I must finish my course with joy and testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And he tells us in Galatians 1:11 and 12 that by special revelation, from the risen, glorified Christ. He received the gospel of the grace of God. And he said, if any man or an angel preach any other gospel than he preached, let him be anathema. Yes, one of the greatest crimes that can ever be committed is to pervert the gospel of the grace of God. Or as Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by man's doing, then Christ has died in vain. In other words, God tells us that in order to become a living saint, we must be saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. You do not have to do one thing religious or otherwise to become a saint. The very moment you come by faith to Calvary and acknowledge that you're the ungodly, hell-deserving sinner for whom Christ died, and receive Christ as your Savior and meet God at Calvary, then all your sins are forgiven and you stand in the presence of God, justified without a cause by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, saved by grace for time and eternity. Here's the poem we wrote, and we have this on a little sheet with three different choruses that is the poems put to music. We'd be very glad to send it to you with the book on the message of grace. If you'll write to me, Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. We'll send you the choruses and this poem we have, and also the book. If you want to send postage, we'll send you several books. For above in God's heaven, there on God's throne, the glorified Savior appears for his own. For all who are trusting in his death on the tree, because I am trusting, he appears there for me. Nothing by nature can I reckon or claim. All by God's mercy, all in Christ's name. He, rich in glory, became poor for my sake. Of his divine nature, by faith, I partake. Christ suffered at Calvary. He died there for me to save me from judgment, and now I am free. From God's wrath, I am delivered by his infinite grace, because the Lord Jesus was judged in my place. Yea, Christ is my Savior, my Lord, and my head. I am one with Christ Jesus, and with him I am dead. But with him I am living, for Christ lives in me. This is life eternal. In Christ Jesus 'tis free. By God's Holy Spirit I am indwelt and sealed, till my Savior in glory shall soon be revealed. Baptized by God's Spirit into God's blessed Son, because I am trusting in what he has done. God's mighty power raised Christ to his throne. 'Tis mine for the taking, yea, my very own. For with Christ I am seated where he is above. Such is God's mercy, his grace, and his love. God's door of salvation is still open wide. By faith in Christ Jesus, you may step inside. You're not sure of tomorrow, so do not delay. Receive Christ as your Savior and do it today.